friends. Welcome back to the next episode of Like Anime. It's a talk show where we talk about the latest and greatest, and maybe not so great, anime that's coming out right now. My name's George, and with me as always...
I am Tony.
How are you, man?
I'm all right. Pretty fair to middling.
Okay, all right.
I guess.
I'll take it. Are you, would you feel better if we talked about some anime?
No.
Bringing you brutal honesty.
But I wouldn't feel worse either. I mean, it's what I'm here for, so, you know, I'm going to feel about the same either way.
All right, let's remain unchanged.
Actually, let's see, if we didn't talk about anime, how would I feel? Yeah, no, I need to talk about anime.
Okay, so yeah. That's what I was looking for, yeah, some enthusiasm.
I'd be a little pent up if I didn't get to talk about anime right now.
Yeah, you're doing all this work. You wrote notes.
Yeah.
We meet every week.
Every week.
And let's begin, shall we, with a little show called My Hero Academia.
My Hero Academia. I think I've seen this one.
Yeah, I think you and I are the only ones. Just
this
kidding.
This is episode 95, a.k.a. episode 7 of season 5, a.k.a. episode 6 of season 5.
Confused yet?
Count it however you want. It's episode 95. Let's just go with that. That's the easy way to go.
And this is the start of the third battle of Class A versus Class B in this hero school.
Yes, match 3 starts. Next time, match 3 continues.
And probably ends. But yeah, we from Class A, I didn't write down all their names, but we got Todoroki.
Yeah.
Fire and Ice dude.
Yeah.
And we got Ida. Inganium is his hero name.
Oh, yeah, because he took his older brother's hero name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy with the rocket legs.
He goes fast. And Tetsu. Okay, yeah, so those two are on the Class A team. I forget the other two's names. But they're versus Class B, which Tetsu is the steel guy.
Oh, yeah, on Class B.
Which I think last time we were talking about him, but we were confusing him with the Red Riot, which is Class A. But they're both
buddies. But you were saying that he's essentially the same thing as the guy from Class A, but you couldn't remember his name.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the guy from Class A, you couldn't remember his name.
Yeah.
Which is Red Riot.
Yeah, yeah, I confused you. I'll take the blame for that one.
It's all your fault.
As always. But yeah, I was trying to think of this Tetsu guy. Who turns to steel, and then we met some other people. There's a spiral guy, who I like spirals, but we just saw him like spiraling his fist, like
he can spin any part of his body.
Yeah,
and which raised some HE thoughts in my mind, but we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's got a lot of possibilities. And then speaking of it, there's a horn girl, who shoots horns out of her head.
Yeah,
she's horny.
No sooner did they say that she can only control like two pairs of horns at a time than she had like six out, like whatever.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. But also seems like a pretty limited power. Like, how much can you do with these horns?
She did quite a bit.
Yeah, she restrained and can attack with them. So I guess that's enough. But, and then there's another guy in there. I didn't write anything about him. So forget that.
Me neither.
Yeah, but essentially, like, in this episode, All Might pulls Deku aside, and to me, he essentially validated what your prediction / fears have been, that we're gonna have to watch all these fights until we get to Deku's. And that that seems to be the case. Like, All Might was basically expressing his concerns about when Deku fights what's his name?
The mind control guy.
Yeah, mind control. I wrote it down here somewhere.
Shigaraki. Oh. No, it's not Shigaraki.
Shinso.
Shinso. I knew Shinso. It was she something.
Yeah, you're close. Because the reason he's worried about Shinso and Deku facing off again is because when they first did at the sports festival, those two battled, and that's the first time that Deku was
visited by the vestiges.
Yeah, these vestiges are coming up again. You brought them up on last episode, talking about. So I'm a spider, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Vestiges. I don't know. Like that's it. There must be like some Japanese word that like that's the only thing it translates as or something. I don't.
Yeah. Not a word you often hear in day-to-day life.
In English, no. Yeah.
So All Might is concerned that there's going to be some sort of, you know, I don't know, something's going to happen. So it's like building up to that. And so essentially what I'm saying is I think you're right. Unfortunately, I was hoping for them to mix it up a bit or, you know, have something happen before then, but it seems like we're gonna have to get through all these fights.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Which is okay. The fact that they're dragging most of them out to two episodes is a little, disappointing, but, and this one, it was kind of amusing for me, at the fight itself. Cause like Team B is trying to figure out a plan. And then the Tetsu Steel guy just starts destroying everything to get to them. And then Team A doesn't have a plan either, but then they kind of recognize what's going on and they're like, okay, we'll go with this then.
We'll just go over there where that guy's destroying everything. Yeah. They're all probably just standing around looking at him going, what are you doing?
Which it was refreshing just from the last two fights of like actually having, you know, trying to come up with a strategy or, you know, or doing something.
Having a strategy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's like they introduced Ida, like he pulled out his mufflers on his legs so he can go real hard for 10 minutes.
He's all souped up like Koguma's Super Cub is going to be.
Yes, that's right. That's right. A Super Cub reference.
Another throwback to last episode.
A very different show.
what do you mean different?
No, different than this.
No, it's the same.
Oh, okay.
same thing.
Yeah. Lots of fighting.
Totally the same thing.
Lots of still, serene shots in the... I don't know, across town.
lots of people doing things. Yep.
Yep.
That's what anime is.
Oh, I remember the fourth person in Team B's group in this match. I don't know his name, but he can turn things soft.
Oh, yeah.
Because immediately Todoroki, you know, Tetsu's destroying everything and Todoroki just freezes everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice. Seems very handy. And then this guy counters it with turning it soft, which... It's kind of fun because later on he you know turns it back to ice when he's fighting Ida, and then Ida does his like soup, you know, explain his special ability he can do now, and so he was able to just like tear through the ice, but he can only do that for 10 minutes. But then I was like, why are you I mean, I guess it's 10 minutes across the board, because I was just like, why are you expending all this energy going through this ice when you could just go up out of the ice and go straight to him? But he's just like plowing through the ice, like going towards this guy. So I guess it's just a 10-minute rule. You can do whatever you want. But it seems like it'd be a little faster to go around the ice. I don't know.
Probably. I don't know.
There's not much to talk about here. So this is all I got.
Yeah. The only part of the episode that that interested me was at the very end. When they were saying what the name of the episode was, and it indicated that it would be the end of match 3. So my prediction that match 3 would last for 3 episodes, since match 2 lasted for 2 and match 1 lasted for 1, was apparently wrong, meaning that, yes, thank you, I only have to endure 2 episodes of match 3 before I can get into the 2 episodes of match 4, before I can get into the actual story this season.
Well, maybe they'll, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it'd be nice, like with match 4, if there's not something more interesting going on. I don't remember who's in that off the top of my head, but it'd be nice if not, if they just kind of wrap that up, you know, just have one person that just immediately, you know, kicks butt and then, oh, it's over and play it for laughs or something. Cause
maybe.
I don't know.
Would
like,
that be more interesting or less interesting though? I don't know.
If they do it for comedy, I'm all about it. But I don't know. Like, I like this show, but...
But, I mean, they have to take a break between, like, match 3 and 4 for, like, the beach episode, right? Or they have to go and, like, revisit Class B's dorms maybe now so we can see all of their dorm rooms.
You're being very cute, but they're not going to do that in the middle of a class exercise.
Are you sure?
Well, then we really know
I've got how much money do I have in my pocket? I would like to bet all of this money on that.
Really? You think they're gonna...
It's only like $4.
I mean, that would be ridiculous. I like this show.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
It would be. I like the show overall, but I feel like lately, the past couple seasons or whatever, it's, I don't know if it's losing me, but it's just, I feel like it's losing momentum. Like, I don't know what we're doing. And I feel like I need something to spice things up.
I mean, what we're doing is just really the same thing we've been doing the whole time.
We're going to school and becoming heroes.
They just, they haven't upped the ante. They haven't increased the interest. They haven't done anything to make this season more interesting than last season.
Yeah.
Especially thus far this season, much less interesting than the same timeline last season, I think.
Well, it's like the only thing they've done is set up these vestiges. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. We learned more about
them. And then refuse to address them or talk any more about them. And, you know, let's just watch people fight for five episodes now.
But with the anticipation of getting to this fight with Shinso, which, you know, seems like it's going to, you know, pick up from that. But it's like, if that's really how this plays out, it's just kind of boring. You know, it's like, I can already see it coming. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can imagine that, you know, things are going to go awry. But
I mean, it's lazy writing, but they have billions of fans, so they can afford to lose a few thousand.
That's true. And I feel like this often happens with these long running shonen anime adaptations based on the comic, the manga. Where, like, when this show first started, it was really refreshing to me in the pacing. Like, things happened fast. Like, there's like a training montage.
Yeah, the first season is so,
yeah, it's really tight and it's very entertaining. Like, in the first few episodes, there's a training montage, you know, where Deku, Midoriya, he's not even, you know, he's trying to prove himself just to, you know, become a hero at all. But when that training montage started, I, from my past experiences with Shonen, I was like, oh my God, here we go. It's going to be like a 3-episode thing. And no, it was over in a flash. Like,
yeah, he just goes to the beach and throws around some tires and
yeah, like a little montage. And,
yeah, we're done with that.
And it worked too. It wasn't dissatisfying. But now it's, as things are going on, it's stretching out. And I don't even think we're that far into the story. You know, I feel like it's happening a little quicker than some other shows, but I don't know. I'm rooting for it. I'm still going to watch it. Just expressing my concerns.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to yawn as well.
Fair enough.
For a while.
Well, what do we got next? Seems like we...
last thing, I gave that episode a 5 out of 10. You know, it's fine. It's what I expected it would be. The next episode is also going to be a 5 out of 10. It's going to be fine. It's going to be what I expected it to be. And we'll see where it goes from there. How about you?
I mean, it's hard to rate. I wrote a light 7, but now that I'm thinking back on it, that seems
the episode
a little...
itself or just, oh, you're talking about the whole show overall, maybe?
I don't know, man.
All right.
That's supposed to be for the episode, but it doesn't, it's not checking out. So. I must have been.
My negativity has brought you down, and now you're like, I don't know what I was thinking when I gave this a 7. Tony hates it so much.
Well, I do like being introduced to these new characters and learning about these new, you know, quirks. But it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily engrossing me in the story. It's just kind of like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And this, I mean, this is episode 95, as you said. So it's like, it's kind of hard to rate at this point where for
that's
me.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll let you know when it really wows me.
All right. I will also let you know when it even a little bit wows me.
Okay.
All right. So next up we've got Thunderbolt Fantasy. How you doing on that?
Oh God. Well, I promised to catch up on, I promised to rewatch the first two seasons so that I could more accurately digest the third season because I've been a bit disappointed. I'm a big fan of the first two seasons. But in trying to rewatch it, I just haven't been in the right mindset, which, imagine some people can relate. I'm already watching a lot of shows, week to week. That is kind of a new thing for me. You know, my viewing habits are kind of hit and miss, all or none. You know, they go really hot, and then
binge and purge.
Yeah, binge and purge. Here we go. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, so I don't know. I really like Thunderbolt Fantasy, and it's and so I wanna rewatch that, but I don't know. I can't make any promises now, so I'm just going to keep trying, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if it's a show that you're having trouble enjoying currently, the current season anyway, it seemed like you were having trouble enjoying it. Mm. Forcing yourself to watch it when you don't want to is probably not going to bode well for it. So, you know, take your time. We're going to put that one on hold for now. It'll still be on the schedule every week. We'll let you know when George gets there, and then it'll be a big info dump all at once.
And hey, I only watched the current season up until like episode 3 or something. Yeah, so if you're still caught up and it's blowing your mind, like, let me know. Maybe I can just jump back in and enjoy it. But yeah, let's move on.
All right. Well, then we should probably talk about the Tokyo Revengers episode 5.
Oh, yes. Show we're both watching.
Yeah. And so this episode is kind of meh, I thought. Wasn't super wild about what was going on with it. I think I might be done with this show at this point. I have a question mark after the word dropped because I'm not sure.
I hear
you. I actually meant to talk to you about this before we started recording and find out if you were planning to drop it too, because if you're not, then I'm going to continue watching it. But if you are dropping it, then we're both dropping it.
I am not ready to drop it. Okay. I didn't know how much sway I had with that till now. But if you listened to last episode 2 days ago, we were talking about that show Yasuke that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And the second episode we covered, I really like the backstory of the main character a lot more than the current story. And with this one, it's kind of similar, where it's like we have these, our main character Takemichi's repeatedly going back in time to try to save his middle school girlfriend from eventually being killed, yada, yada. But he, in the course of that, he's been introduced to this character, Mikey, and his sort of right-hand man, Draken. Not really sure how it's pronounced. And I am far more interested in these two characters. Like, I wish the show was about them. Mikey in particular, like, I don't know. He's really cool. I mean, he's supposed to be cool. But he's way more complex character than our Takemichi.
Mm.
And I wrote here, Takemichi is an idiot. He spent the entire episode just suspecting Draken for, like, eventually, like, I don't know, plotting to kill Mikey or being, I don't know. He was completely, like, misled in his own head about what he was trying to do. And this is something that has bothered you, I know, because it's like every time he goes back in time to his past, kind of is disoriented, and they kind of cover
that happens again.
That happens again, but then they kind of cover it up where he's like, oh, I changed stuff.
Yeah.
And so when I go back, it's not the same person. So that explains it for this time, but not really the first time.
Yeah, this time it was more this was something that hadn't happened in his past.
Yeah.
But because he changed things, it was happening when he went back this time. So
yeah,
I can kind of give him a pass on that. It wasn't as egregious as the previous, I keep using that word. Used that last episode too. Anyway. It wasn't as foul as the prior.
It's like they're just continuing to do that. But now they have an explanation for it.
Yeah, at least they have a reason to do that now, I guess. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about it. You go ahead.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I gave last week's episode a 5, which was the lowest of the season, and this one's a 6. But it's really just because of Mikey. Like that's why I'm still watching. And also, like, I keep every week I see headlines about this manga. I saw one just today that was, I forget what it was saying, but they had to reprint, or they had to print a bunch of volumes to, like, meet this high demand, I guess maybe because the anime is out now or something.
Maybe, yeah.
And they're making a stage production of it, and I don't know. We talked about this before, but I'm like, there's got to be something here. I don't know if the anime is not doing it justice, or if, like, it's just not for us. But I'm curious enough about some of these characters and its reputation and popularity around the world that I don't know. I'm just
It could be one of those where you just have to get through the first season to be able to enjoy it, maybe. I don't know.
That could be.
And it's not horrible. It's just it's really middling for me, you know. It's like I get what they're doing. I understand it, and that's fine, I guess. It's just not compelling.
Yeah.
Not compelling enough, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I guess I'm watching this again next week, probably.
Well, hey, at least that'll be the halfway point of this season for it. This is episode 5. So
I mean, it is. It's like a high five. Like I've been giving it a 5 for the last several episodes, but it's high on that scale. Enough that I literally wasn't sure if I was dropping it or not. It was very much dependent on. If you felt the same and you were going to drop it, then I was happy to, you know, just drop it. But I'm also happy to continue watching it as well. So,
okay.
You know.
And I was similar too, because last week's episode was so banal that it was like, if they're going to continue to like focus on the time travel logic and the modern day stuff is all pretty boring to me. Like that's how I'm relating it to Yasuke, where it's like,
oh, I see.
Yeah. I want to know way more about what happened in the past and with these other key characters. I'm not so interested in our main character. Like he's kind of boring and uninteresting. And I guess that's kind of the point, but makes it hard to root for him, I suppose.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. It's again, it's not a bad show.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
It's not a great show.
Yeah.
I'm on the verge of saying it's not a good show. But somewhere right in that range. But yeah, we can move on to an actual, you know, maybe good show, Shadow's House. You haven't been feeling this one much lately.
Well, I have.
Shadow's House?
Yeah, it's been on an uptick for me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. I just remember the last couple episodes you were kind of like...
The third one, I was starting to question where it was going. But now at this point, like I'm on board. Like I'll be finishing it this season for sure.
Oh yeah? Yeah. Oh okay, good. Yeah. So I mean, this episode of Shadow's House, the debut, right, has begun. We finally get to learn what that's about, sort of. By sort of experiencing it, I guess.
Yeah, it's all very, and I kind of like that. Like we're just thrust into it, like as the characters are, and they don't really know what's going on, so it's.
Yeah, they don't know. They know that they're being judged and that there's, you know, repercussions. I said that wrong, but there's repercussions of how they are judged or what they are judged as or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that. But there's, you know, the judgment that they receive at the debut is important to their future. They know that, but they don't know on what they're being judged on. They don't know. Yeah.
They can only infer because essentially there's a this first like legitimate adult character we've seen. But he's a doll that is a special doll, I suppose.
Special doll.
Yeah. And he's the one judging them. And he has like a little shelf with like, I don't know, 5 different layers or something. And they each doll and shadow person combo is represented by. You know, a figure.
Minifig thing.
He kind of moves them around accordingly, like in real time, which I liked is like a visual, you know, representation of what's going on.
Yeah.
We react to it as the audience, but then the characters themselves
are also reacting
noticing
to it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a simple thing, but I thought it really worked.
And did the bottom shelf have like spikes on it and stuff?
Oh, it looked like it. Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't think you want to go down there.
and speaking of which, well, okay, so first to set this up a little bit, I thought it was interesting that leading up to the debut, because I was confused. I thought like, you know, when Kate has her debut, that it would be an event for her specifically.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was unclear how it was going to go down, but obviously it's a group affair.
Yes.
Which makes it more interesting, more cutthroat, much more like a reality game show, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Much more like a reality show.
But because of that, we see for the first time, leading up to the debut, we get to see all these different Shadows family members interacting with their dolls. And it's kind of across the board. Some are really mean. Some are like kind of, you know, almost subservient to their dolls. You know, some are more in the middle, just kind of have a healthy relationship. And
yeah, and all of these dolls we have met before through Emilico. But the, what would you call them? They're masters, I guess. The shadow masters. We haven't met any of them except for Kate, Emilico's master, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we did meet one of them because there was that one episode where Emilico dropped her little stuffed animal or whatever out the window, and then she fell, and then Kate ran down to go get her, and then like they ran into one of the other shadows people with her doll. And it was like really embarrassing because Emilico, like, I don't know if you remember this.
Was it one of the ones that was in the debut as well? Because that's what I meant.
I see. No. Yeah. I guess she isn't, huh? She's in the cleaning, you know, whatever, the cleaning team.
Yeah.
I forget her name, but yeah, you're right. She's not actually in the,
she's not debut. one of the ones that's in the debut. Yeah.
I think so. But yeah.
I don't think so either, because it's sort of the mom character of the cleaning team, right? Isn't that who they run into?
She's not like the leader, but she's like the one with the, like the silver hair that kind of is nurturing to Emilico, but she's not actually the one that's in charge of their little group. But
yeah, now I don't remember if she was in the debut or not, because I think the one that I'm thinking of now was. Anyway.
Getting them all confused.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see like just... like expanding our focus a little bit instead of just seeing how Kate and Emilico, you know, interact and seeing like behind the scenes of like, you know, what these relationships are like.
Yeah. Their relationship is pretty different from the other relationships that we see, but at the same time, all of those relationships are different from each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, they all have their own way of interacting with their dolls, I guess.
And I was thinking that, because as it goes on, there's certain references to the dolls as, you know, being their face or being like, you know, their representation, which has been established before. But it just got me thinking about, I don't know, trying to relate to, you know, rich people. But the idea of if you are born into money and born into an affluent society or family, that you kind of, you know, certainly in this story, you have to suppress your actual personality, and you have to put on a persona of prim and proper, you know, very astute, but also polite and respect. You know, there's like an extra layer than like common folk would have, you know, for being, you know, more professional or polite or whatever. Like there's this whole other like... plastic I don't know what you would call it, but
have you been watching The Crown lately?
I haven't seen The Crown at all, but
well, you should watch it because it definitely relates to that concept you're talking about, where you know you're born into this sort of more prestigious family or whatever, and you have to act a certain way, but it's very much expected of you. So great show, not anime.
Like anime?
Not really, no. Nothing like anime, but
wait for our offshoot podcast. I'm not really anime,
but a good story. And anime often has good stories, so it's like anime in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, the title is like a light novel. It's very long.
Yeah, I like it.
yeah, so I guess it relates to that. Which call, you know, this show has a, as we've established, very Victorian era kind of a thing going on. But yeah, I was just trying to draw like, you know, metaphors, what the dolls really represent, and that this episode kind of just brought that, very simple, but just brought that to mind of like, okay, like, and they're doing this debut of like, you know, are you ready to be considered an adult within this you know family, this affluent family that we have going.
Yeah, this episode definitely didn't resolve any questions so much as it, you know, introduced a few new ones, I think.
Yeah.
And even the end of the episode, it's sort of cliffhanger-y, in that all of the shadow family members are led off to a garden and all of the dolls are told to stay behind.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And we don't know, and we don't know where we're going from here, but.
And that episode ends so abruptly. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you felt that way, but just the way they framed it, like it wasn't like the door being slammed shut. And it was like, you know, this, this whole, like it could have been done better. I think it was just kind of like the one doll was trying to walk in after them. And he was like, no, no.
He's like, nope. Not
stay
you.
Out here. And then it was just like credits.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
I mean, it's a virtual door slamming shut, I guess. But
that's true.
I don't know. I didn't, I mean, it was abrupt, but I didn't feel, it felt natural to end the episode there. To me, I think.
I think it was an okay place to end it. I don't know. For whatever reason, the way the frame or the sound effect they ended it on was just, you know, I feel like it'd have been a little more emphatic of like, you know, this is the end of the episode, but it's a minor complaint.
I don't remember specifically enough, I guess, but anyway, yeah, I think that's about all we have on Shadow's House, episode 5. So we should move on to I've Been Killing Slimes for 300 Years and Maxed Out My Level, episode 5 also. The title of this episode is A Ghost Appeared.
Ooh,
spooky. So a ghost is haunting the fan service elf's new energy drink factory and scaring off her workers. I actually decided to make a note of her name this time because I've just been calling her fan service elf for so long. Her name is Harukara. They spell it in the English subtitles as H-A-L-K-A-R-A, but it's like Harukara in Japanese. So I don't know. Somewhere in that range, however you want to pronounce it in your own head, I'm going to say Harukara. Anyway, so yeah, this ghost is scaring off workers at her new energy drink factory, and she seeks Azusa's help, Azusa being the Witch of the Highlands, our main character. So then Azusa requests or recruits Beelzebub's assistance, and the three of them go to the factory to find the ghost. Basically, Harukara and Azusa are sort of afraid of the ghost, and Beelzebub, being a demon, isn't. So she sort of leads the charge. Eventually they find the ghost. They discover this ghost is a teenage girl that happened to die on that property before it was a factory, and when it was a house, I guess, that she lived in. Anyway, so she had died there, and she's like now sort of attached to the property, so she can't leave or anything, which is what they were hoping. They could just get her to leave. But yeah, she's bound to it. So Beelzebub says, you know, usually ghosts that are bound to a certain place can leave if they possess someone who then leaves while they're possessed, essentially. So and they go into like a discussion of, you know, one of the more simple-minded people would be best. So of course they look to fan service elf. I mean, Harukara. she appears to be the most viable vessel for this. So the ghost girl, whose name is Rosalie, she possesses nice. Harukara, and then they go over to Azusa's house where they're going to essentially release her so that she can then become, you know, another member of the family, basically.
Oh, okay.
But then they get there, and Rosalie cannot unpossess Harukara. She doesn't know how. I don't know how she knew how to possess her in the first place, but she basically doesn't know how to let go of the body or something. So the entire second half of the episode is them doing, like, stupid things to try and get her, like, you know, shaking her and dunking her in water and anything that you can possibly think of that you think might drive a ghost out of a person. They do it in the second half of this episode. And eventually they succeed.
Well, what was it? What worked?
The dunking in the water, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They, well, so.
Holy water.
No, it has a combination of things. So Harukara, normally when she drinks wine, she sort of falls asleep almost immediately, passes out. So they serve her some wine with Rosalie inhabiting her body. And I guess Rosalie passes out since she's in control of the body. And then they throw her in a tub of cold water, which then shocks her and scares her out. And then, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So now we've got Ghost Girl and we've got Fan Service Elf as separate beings again.
Hooray.
And then they sort of take Rosalie around the town and introduce her to the townsfolk so that they won't be afraid to return to work at the factory. And all is well again. We can get back to our nice, comfortable, relaxing isekai life.
No more hijinks. That's it. Oh, we solved them all.
It's all hijinks. That's basically all the show is. But I, yeah, I still enjoy the show. It's cute. It's good. Fan service elf is not as fan servicey as she has been in past episodes. So that's why I decided to actually write down her name this time, I guess.
Been distinguished.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's more of a full fledged character now.
Right on.
Anyway. So yeah, we've got the whole family going on. We've got Azusa, which, you know, the Witch of the Highlands, the reincarnated, immortal, you know, witch, who's been living for 300 years and killing slimes. We've got her two slime daughters. We've got Fan Service Elf. We've got a dragon girl, who, we didn't really see much of this episode, but she was involved in the trying to get the ghost out of the body. We've got Beelzebub, who doesn't live there, but seems to visit every episode now. And now we've got Rosalie, the teenage ghost girl.
It's a crowded house.
That's a big family, a lot of girls.
Right on. That's kind of the whole...
And judging by the opening and ending credits, we've got about 7 more to add before the season's over.
Oh my God. Yeah, so I mean, that's just what I was going to say is, like, it's kind of the point is amassing this family.
It seems to be every episode we're adding someone, and, you know, it's episode 5. There's probably 7 episodes left, so there's probably about 7 more girls we're going to add to this.
Do they need a bigger house, or do they start with a mansion?
I mean, it is a pretty big house, but I feel like it must be getting crowded at this point, right?
I suppose the ghost can... take it, you know, it doesn't take up too much space, but
yeah, she can sleep on the couch, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's probably going to be a lot of this continuing, but it's, you know, it's cute, it's funny, it's well done for what it is. So if you like what it is, you will like it. If you don't like what it is, go watch My Hero Academia, because that's the antithesis of this show, I think.
I just have one question about this episode. When the ghost possessed the elf girl,
fan service elf, yeah,
Harukara,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just imagining them playing that for laughs, like she, you know, like you would imagine, like an actual possessed person would be like, or was it just like she was just like the ghost in her body, or I don't know. How did they do that?
Yeah, the ghost just sort of took over her body, and then it immediately played for a sort of HE gag laugh, where she's like, "Oh, these are so big."
Yeah, okay.
As you would expect.
I suppose I was hoping for like an Exorcist reference or something like that, you know?
No, nothing crazy like that.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, it's much lighter than that.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, that's I've Been Killing Slimes for 300 years and I maxed out my level, episode 5. I guess next up we have the special challenge.
Yes, we are back again with the special challenge. Tony and I have each selected a show for the other to watch, a show that we like a lot, and we think the other person would enjoy it. We're not trying to torture each other. Tony has selected a Flying Witch for me, and
you've selected 4 different shows for me thus far.
Yeah, every time I've seen it already. Already watching more shows than me this season, and yet somehow still finding time to add on, you know, 12 episode.
Well, I would like to wish you the best of luck tonight in naming something that I haven't watched already.
Yeah, I'm used to it now. I'm over it.
First, let's hear about Flying Witch episode 5. I guess we could say that we both fell behind on some things this week, so we ended up watching a couple of shows together, and Flying Witch episode 5 is one of them that I watched with George. But I'll let you take it over, and I'll have comments at the end.
Yeah. I mean, just overall, Flying Witch, it's a Iyashike healing slice of life show. It's very peaceful and serene, and I like that about it. I last week's episode, I wasn't huge on. I thought it was okay. I gave it a 6. Back up to a 7. This episode, it's about our main character, who I finally wrote down her name, Makoto, because I kept just not knowing her name when I talk about the show. But she has a cat named Chito, or Cheeto. I'll just say, Americanize Chito. It. Cheeto, I'm going to say Cheeto. It's happening. He's a black cat, not an orange cat, as you might thought from Cheeto, but he essentially goes on an adventure in this episode. And my favorite character, Chinatsu, who is, Makoto's,
younger cousin.
Yeah. She's adorable and hilarious. And so she kind of is secretly trying to stalk, Cheeto as he goes around town. And you know, they live in a very small town, so there's like, you know, no stranger danger, I suppose. But because she's pretty young. But yeah, and that's the first half of the episode. You know, it goes to different scenes. And then in the second half, Cheeto basically takes Makoto out to show her the exact same things. But then things go awry. They get chased by a dog. And I don't know. They check out some cherry blossoms and... Cheeto tries to catch a butterfly. I don't know how you could sell this show just in like what actually happens, because that's kind of the point, is not much happens.
Yeah.
But it's very cute, it's very silly, and it's funny too. Not, you know, gut busting, but it's it gets a couple chuckles for me.
Light amusement, yeah.
Yeah.
So my comments on this are that, your rating is wrong, because this is a 10 of 10 episode, because this is in fact my favorite episode.
Oh, is it?
Which I told you, I wasn't sure if you were going to like it, because like nothing happens. The first half of the episode, Chinatsu follows Cheeto around. And then the second half of the episode, Makoto follows Cheeto around.
Yes.
Like that's all that happens in this episode, is a cat leads the whole thing. Like we're following a cat for the entire episode.
Which is great.
And it's sort of a repeat, because the places that Cheeto goes with Chinatsu following him,
I think so, yeah.
Okay. All the places that he goes, that's where he then leads Makoto to. He's like, oh, I found this cool place earlier today. Come with me. Because she's a witch, so she can understand her cat familiar. Anyway, yeah, it is the most Iyashike episode ever to me. Like, it's just literally following a cat around and seeing like what it does for an entire day.
Yeah. And a witch's cat, no less.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so great. And there's actually more to it than I remembered, because it's been a while since I've seen it. But, you know, she talks with, now the school girl, the high school girl,
her friend. Yeah.
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 They, you know, have a little bit of a chat, and, there's like, you know, some eating of food and stuff like that with the family. And, you know, it's not only following the cat around, but that's the main,
it's
part
mostly
of this
that.
Episode. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's what it's about.
There's a part in the first half where, Makoto is like going through some of her boxes she hasn't unpacked yet.
Yeah.
Reminiscing about things. And I guess that's when Cheeto slips away and, you know, goes on his initial adventure.
And Chinatsu sees him sort of sneaking off and is like, hey mom, I'm going out for a bit. And mom's like, where are you going? She's like, I don't know yet.
It's going to be great though.
It's going to be great. I have a feeling it's going to be great, is what she says, I think. Yeah.
And that was cute too. When she was following Cheeto around, she's, you know, she knows that it's the cat of a witch, you know,
yeah.
You know, it's a cousin of hers. And so she keeps, you know, sort of in her mind, like, you know, everything he does is like, oh, is he putting a spell on this? Or is he, you know, he's up to some magical, you know, hijinks. There's that word again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see, that's so funny, because we watched this together and you had referenced it a couple times.
Oh, I'm so happy that it just happened. Like, it's absolute kismet that you happened to fall behind. The only show that you didn't watch this week is Flying Witch, which, you know, I love the show. So
yeah.
I'm happy to watch an episode of it. But it just so happens that this week is the episode, my favorite episode of my favorite show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, worked out. Totally great for me.
I really liked it. I don't know about a 10 out of 10, but
give it a couple years.
Yeah. Let it, well, I got to see the whole series. Yeah, first
let it sink in. I mean, there's some great stuff to come too. It's just like, this one was just so, yeah.
I remember you, it's a show we talk about on Sundays, Yakumo pottery show.
Yeah.
But it was, when we were talking about that last week, you brought it up because I didn't like last week's episode of that show.
Because they were literally like following the teacher. They were just like stalking the teacher and following her and like all of it. And yeah, this, it, instead of a teacher, it's a cat, and it's
true,
but it's Chinatsu who you like.
Yeah.
So,
but it also works better too, because it's not a hobby show. You know, it's not a show about like, I mean, it stars a witch.
Your expectations are different.
Yeah. Cause it's not like the witch aspect of it is more played for laughs, and it kind of plays in at some point, like, you know, here and there, but it's not really about like what it means to be a witch and like to do witchcraft.
Yeah,
it's sort of just a window dressing for the show.
I think Yakumo is not really about like what it is to be a potter and to make pottery. It's just sort of window dressing for the show. But you seem to have different expectations of it.
I disagree. I mean, not in its in what it's actually doing, but I think I was personally, I feel like I was sold.
Yeah, your expectations were different.
Yeah.
Definitely got that.
But for this show and this episode, Flying Witch, it worked perfectly, and it's exactly what I wanted. I love Chinatsu, and so that's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time. I love that show. I'm so happy that it just happened to be this episode. It's
that's
so
awesome.
It's so bizarre.
Well, you definitely contained your enthusiasm.
Oh yeah, I wanted to let you know on the podcast, so I didn't say anything.
Excellent. That's awesome. All right. Well, I guess that means it's high time for me to try to stump you with a show.
Well, you're not really trying to stump me. You're just recommending a show for me to watch that I haven't watched.
That's true. You're just you're pushing my buttons here.
I mean, your best option would be to recommend a show that you haven't ever recommended before, which thus far you haven't done.
Yeah. Well, there's so many shows that I don't know.
I mean, like, at some point you're just going to give up and you're going to recommend a show that you don't even think I'll like, probably, just to try and find something that I, anyway.
We'll see.
What show have I already watched this week?
I'm going to go with a little show from, I don't remember when it's from, 2016, 2015, called My Love Story, Ore Monogatari.
Oh, Ore Monogatari. Yes, you have recommended that one to me at least 1,000 times, I think, over the many, many years I have known you. And of course, it was very high on my list of things that I would need to watch to get ahead of you. So, of course, I have watched it.
You son of a gun. I mean, good job. Very impressive.
You know this. That's why I'm saying, you know, at some point you're probably going to have to start recommending things that, I don't know. It would be interesting to find something that you've never recommended to me that you'll think I'll like, because I think everything that you think I will like, you have probably already recommended to me at least once before.
Right? Yeah, probably.
So I don't know. I don't know how you're going to do this, George. I wish you the best of luck in future weeks. But Ore Monogatari, I watched 12 episodes of this, I believe, because it's 26 in the first season, or 24 in the first season, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember right. And
sounds right.
So I was taking notes on each episode because I started watching this after we have started the podcast and after I got into the habit of taking notes on everything. So I was taking like detailed notes on each episode. And at some point, Google decided that I didn't need any notes after episode 3. So all of those are gone.
Oh, geez.
I only actually have my actual notes for the first 3 episodes. But I'm not even going to be looking at those because I sort of recreated in my mind what I remember of it, which is probably more of an honest opinion than just, you know, cheating and reading what I thought about each episode after it happened. But yeah, so the first 3 episodes, I very much loved. Like, it's the story of this sort of downtrodden guy who has a handsome friend who basically becomes the focus of every girl's attention that is anywhere near them, because they're sort of always around each other, I guess, because they're friends.
Yeah, really tight.
Yeah, and so all of the girls that our main character likes end up sort of falling for his handsome friend, who's a very nice guy and is just unfortunately handsome, I guess. It seems like a great burden on him, actually.
Poor guy.
Being so handsome, every girl falls in love with him. Man, I can't imagine. It's got to be just horrible, horrible life for him.
Yeah.
Anyway, and our main character is like this big sort of ox guy, I guess, you know? Like, not that he's actually a animal character or anything, but he's, you know, just a big guy.
Yeah, big, beefy dude.
Yeah, yeah. And he's admired by all of the male students at the school because he's such an awesome, you know, male figure, I guess.
It's been a while since I've seen this, but like he's like a good athlete and stuff, I'm guessing.
He's good at like every athletic thing and yeah. He's good at like, you know, if you happen to be caught inside a burning building and the building's falling down on you, you know, he'll just stand over you so that the building doesn't fall on you, it falls on him. But he's a freaking ox, so he just holds the whole building up, which happens in, I believe, episode 3.
Okay.
Maybe it's episode 2. I don't remember exactly. But yeah, so the first few episodes is sort of him falling in love with this girl who he... maybe it is in episode 1, actually, because I think that's how this whole thing sort of sparks off, is he saves her in this... something is falling down. It's not a burning building, but something falls and he blocks it and saves her from whatever was falling.
Yeah.
And he is sort of enchanted by her. But he's so used to every girl that he's interested in falling in love with his handsome friend that he assumes that, you know, because they end up talking and everything afterwards, he assumes that she is interested in his handsome friend who's, name is in my original notes, but whatever, I don't know where it is. Anyway, so the whole first 3 episodes are basically him trying to support his handsome friend in a relationship with this girl who we know is very much interested in not the handsome friend but our oxen friend.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it sort of plays on that for a while in the first 3 episodes where it's like, you know, will they, won't they sort of thing. Like, are they going to realize it? And then in the 3rd episode, or maybe it's the beginning of the 4th episode, the handsome friend realizes that this girl is interested in our oxen friend. I wish I had their names written down. God.
See.
He realizes that, and so he like says, "Oh, I'll prove it to you. Go hide under the bed." And then like she comes in and like sits on the bed that he's under and like doesn't even touch the floor because he's so huge, and so and she doesn't notice. And yeah, handsome friend asks the girl about, you know, how she feels about the big guy, and she, you know, confesses her feelings, and then they reveal, "Oh, hey, well, we tricked you," which is a very juvenile thing to do, but
yeah.
I mean, they are juveniles, so I guess it makes sense. anyway, and from that point on, they're, I guess, dating. And then in the 4th episode, we've got this weird sort of subplot with handsome dude's older sister apparently was also in love with a big dude, but was waiting until he got older or something, and it doesn't really go anywhere or mean anything. One of the problems I have with this show is from the 4th episode onward, and I think it does correct itself at some point, but starting at the 4th episode, after they have started dating, the girl sort of becomes like an object of his affection more than a full-fledged character herself. Like, we don't get a lot about her feelings and what she thinks about anything. It's mostly about him and how he feels. Which, I mean, it's called Ore Monogatari, and Ore being a masculine me in Japanese, or my, I guess. So it's his story.
Yeah, because he's never had a relationship or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's his story, so I guess it makes sense that it's more from his point of view. But it does sort of correct at some point where, you know, I remember a later episode where we delve into how she feels about, like, she wants to be more affectionate with him at some point, and she wants like to hold his hand and to hug him and maybe even to kiss him at some point, right? But he's so respectful of her feelings that that she feels awkward even attempting to do that or proposing that or anything like that. But yeah, that's not really a problem I have with it. It's just, you know, eventually it corrects itself in that regard where her feelings become important again. It's just, it takes a lapse from like four to seven or eight, probably episodes 4 through 7 or 8, where she's just an object of his affection.
Yeah.
She really seems to have no will of her own.
Now, I wonder if that's more like him just trying to come to terms with, like, you know, a girl liking him and like wanting to, you know, I don't know. It seems like he, you know, was very.
Well, I mean, in the first three episodes, like, he basically doesn't believe that this girl likes him. You know, and then after the fourth episode, it's more that he, his feelings for her are more of like the overpowering point of the plot. And so, like, her feelings don't really become part of it again until later. It's mostly about how much he likes her.
Yeah.
And not so much about her in any way. But
okay.
Anyway, it's a momentary lapse. Like I say, it does eventually recover later, as I recall. But yeah, I like this show a lot, actually. Based on what I watched, I would give it like an 8 out of 10. But if I had only watched the first three episodes, it would have been a 9 out of 10.
Like, oh, wow.
Excellent. The first three episodes are just so good, that building of the love story. Mm. And then after that, it loses its way a little bit, but it recovers and it's fine again. I mean, an 8's pretty high. I don't give out 8s, you know, that often.
Not for real.
A 9, like it, it was a very, very touching story, I think, at the beginning, and it continues pretty well as well. So, yeah, I don't know how the rest of the story progresses. I will probably watch the rest of this at some point, you know, when I've got a little bit less on my plate trying to keep up with you every week. It could work its way back up to a 9 out of 10. Like, it definitely feels like there's so much story left beyond this.
Yeah.
It could be so much better.
Yeah, you make me want to rewatch it because I watched it when it came out, but it's been, I think, 2015 sounds right, but it's just been so long that I remember, you know, most of what you're saying, but it's just like, dang, it's so fuzzy. It does, the show, because I remember there's another show from around that time that I told you about that you did watch back then, or it's since then, Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun.
Oh, yeah. I think I watched that one pretty close to the time that you told me about it.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it had already been out for probably a year at that point, and we were watching some other anime together, and you mentioned it, and I was like, yeah, I haven't seen that. And it was only like a year old at that point, I think.
Yeah, I checked it out.
Yeah, and I think I watched all of it.
And there's definitely some parallels there, like the whole, like, I mean, it's a little different where the main girl in that show keeps trying to confess her love, but the guy just doesn't get it. Like, he keeps mistaking her for a fan of his. He's a manga writer.
Right.
And so, yeah. But I don't remember that show ever. I mean, maybe they do because it's been a long time, but I don't remember them ever actually committing, you know, to them dating, you know. I feel like I at least respect My Love Story for playing with that trope, but then, you know,
they
paying off with it.
Yeah. They pay it off pretty quickly, which is nice. I mean, honestly, they could have milked it 3 or 4 more episodes for me, but, you know, it was nice for them to not milk it too far, which they definitely did not. They got right into it. And then they just get into sort of the nuts and bolts of, you know, being involved in a relationship with another person, which is, I guess, something you don't see a lot in anime because it's a lot of times a will they, won't they sort of thing where, like, these two characters clearly like each other, but are they ever going to get together? You see that all the time. So in this one, it's like they got together. Now what? You know, it's an interesting take. Yeah. Mm. And, a very, very heartwarming, touching, sweet. I like all of the characters. I mean, our big guy, our main guy, whose name I forget, the girl is, very sweet in many ways. His handsome friend, is a genuinely really nice guy. Some of her friends kind of suck, but they eventually sort of come around to not sucking quite so much. Handsome guy's older sister starts off a little unlikable, but redeems herself as well, even in just what I've watched. Like I say, I've only watched half of the first season.
Yeah.
Well, the only season, I assume, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So I've only watched half of it. So, I mean, it could definitely get better. I mean, I guess they could, you know, completely ruin it in the second half of the season, but I feel like they probably didn't.
Yeah.
I think you've watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you
I would remember that.
Haven't been completely shat upon.
And it's a good, from what I recall, it's like a good looking show too. Like the color palette and just the line work and stuff. I don't know. I just remember it being like visually appealing.
Yeah. The art style of it reminds me of other shows that I've seen where it's, I mean, it's anime, but it's got this sort of odd aesthetic that you don't see that often, but is still somewhat common in anime. And I don't really care for that, that art aesthetic that they use. It didn't bother me as much in this show as it has in other shows. But it would, in a show that I didn't like, it would definitely be something that would be like, why do they got to draw lips like that or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Like whatever the little thing is during that episode that it's like, that just looks weird. Why are they doing it that way? it just looks a little weird. It's not your, you know, very standard, anime, look.
True. Stands out a little bit.
Yeah. Doesn't bother me a whole ton. Just, it's just noticeable sometimes to me. But yeah, so that's the special challenge, Ore Monogatari episodes 1 through 12, and I guess if and when I eventually watch the second half of that season, I'll report back to you all. It might not be a while, but that should do it for this episode, because the special challenge is the last thing we have on the list.
That's right.
So, as I say at the end of every episode, you can find us on all the socials. Leave us a comment and send us a message, whatever you want. What did we get right? What did we get wrong? Do you like Ore Monogatari? Do you think I should watch the rest of it? Or is it not worth it because it only gets worse from here? Whatever the case may be, you can tweet us or get at us on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. At Unlike Anime, that's UMLIKEANIME. YouTube is there. That's where we get most of our comments, it seems like. So feel free to just, you know, go to YouTube, leave a comment on the video of this episode, and we try to be responsive. And we are also on Patreon if you would like to contribute to making this show continue to happen in the future. We have no plans of stopping at this point, but any enticement to continue is appreciated. And I mean, at some point we're just going to feel obligated to keep doing this for the rest of our lives. If you guys get on the Patreon there, and you know, we have some minor goals set up. I think our first goal is doing video of the recording sessions and posting those on YouTube instead of the videos that we currently do, which are just sort of waveform videos. So if you want to see what we look like and watch us actually talking into microphones for hours on end, get on that Patreon. Anyway, that's it for us. Thank you so much for listening. We enjoy talking at you and hearing from you if you choose to let us hear from you, which we hope you do. I am Tony, and my friend George here is still named George.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.